This is continuing courtroom coverage in the trial of James Crumbly from the Hidden Killers podcast from True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
James Crumbly,
case number
In November of 2021, you were employed by the ATF, and you also worked on a task force. Did I understand that correctly?
So at the time of the shooting, I wasn't on the task force yet. I was working on cases in Pontiac, which morphed into, led into the creation of that task force.
In connection with this case, you reviewed a significant amount of information and data in the investigations related to the Oxford High School shooting.
Yes.
And that would be specific to Mr. Crumbly, some specific to Mrs. Crumbly, and some specific to their son.
Yes.
On September 25th of 2021, you testified that James and his son went to a gun range in Clarkston.
September 25th, yes.
That they rented a 9mm handgun, if you recall, and I can pull the exhibit up if you'd like.
No, that's correct.
Okay. That they purchased 2 boxes of 9mm ammunition.
I believe that's the correct quantity, yes.
If you recall, the price of those boxes was $29.99 each.
I don't recall, but that wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. That sounds about right for a box of 9mm ammunition.
Yes.
There was also 22 caliber ammunition that was purchased?
Yes.
They fired a 22 caliber pistol?
I believe the video we had, yes.
And that was the Caltech that's owned by James Crumbly?
I believe that is the firearm that's depicted, yes.
Okay. And you also learned that they also fired a 9mm pistol.
Yes.
Which is the one that they rented.
Correct.
That was the HK.
Yes.
In October 3rd of 2021, they rented the gun range again, they being James Crumbly and his son.
Yes.
They purchased 22 caliber ammunition.
I don't recall the exact receiver that day, but that sounds correct for that day, yes.
And in October of 2021, to your knowledge, based on your knowledge of the investigation, there were two pistols in the home, and that was the, and I'm not, there were BB guns as well. I'm not referring to those.
Sure.
There were two pistols. There was the Derringer, which you've been shown, and the Kel-Tec.
Correct.
Okay. Those are both 22 caliber handguns.
Yes.
November 26th of 2021 is when the SIG Sauer 9mm was purchased.
Yes.
And that was done so by James Crumbly.
Yes.
And if you recall from the receipt, there was, it was a handwritten receipt?
Yes, the receipt was handwritten, yes.
And the receipt had the firearm listed?
Yes.
The serial number of the firearm?
Correct.
Prices and things of that nature?
Yep.
Okay. On November 27th of 2021, James Crumbly's wife, Jennifer, took their son to the gun range.
I'm sorry, what date was that again?
November 27th of 2021.
Correct.
So that was the day after the 9mm was purchased.
Yes.
They purchased two boxes of Patriot Defense 9mm ammunition.
Yes.
Based on your investigation, you learned that they fired one full box of ammunition, or at least you believe that that occurred?
That's correct.
You recall that each box was approximately $23.99?
Yes.
That they left with one box of 50 rounds of ammunition?
Correct.
I'm going to get back to, you compared the handgun on the math assignment and also the handgun in the home. I'm going to get back to that in just a minute, but I do want to talk about keeping a handgun safe in a home. You would agree that there are a variety of ways to keep a handgun safe in a home, and I'm going to give you some examples. One would be to store it in a safe.
I would say that's one way to, are you saying, when you said keeping a firearm safe, what does that mean exactly?
Sure. Well, just that, keeping it safely stored, keeping it safe in the home.
Safe, I'm not trying to play a game. I'm just trying to, so you're saying like keeping it safe from access or from a person? Like I'm trying to understand.
Sure, from safe from others, safe from accidents, safe from accidental discharge, safe from mishandling, safe from dot, dot, dot.
Sure. That's one way I think you could keep a firearm securely stored inside of a home.
You can store it in a locking gun case. We saw that the cases that were on the table, they have holes where you could put a lock in them.
Yes, that's correct.
That's another way.
Yes.
You could store it in the small safe. I guess there's a couple different styles of safes. There's the little safe that you showed us earlier, and then there's other bigger safes, correct?
Yeah, there's a variety of gun safes out there, yes.
You could use a cable lock.
Yes.
You could use a trigger lock, which goes in the trigger.
Yes.
You could store the firearm unloaded. Obviously, an unloaded firearm is not inherently dangerous, correct?
I don't want to speculate on whether that would be a safe way to secure a firearm because you don't know whether knowing all the ins and outs of whether someone else has ammunition or magazines or things like that. I can't answer that question.
Sure. I guess my question is actually a lot more simple. I'm not asking you to speculate on anything.
Sure.
Simply having an unloaded firearm, is an unloaded firearm in itself dangerous? Or does it become dangerous when you put ammunition in it?
I would say the answer to that question really depends on the proficiency with firearms of people in the home. If you have ammunition stored separately and it's just the firearm by itself, if someone clearly knows how to load a magazine and insert it, it's no longer stored safely secured, I would think.
My question is a little bit different, though. It's not necessarily talking about, and we can get to the other stuff too. I'm not asking you to avoid that.
I'm really just trying to answer your question. I'm trying to understand what you're trying to ask.
Sure. Yeah. What I'm trying to ask is an unloaded firearm in and of itself, no ammunition in it, no magazine in it, is that itself unsafe?
Again, I don't know what else, being not knowing what else is in the home, I can't answer that question.
You would agree that keeping a handgun safe depends on a variety of circumstances. And you talked about some of those, not knowing if there's ammunition in the home, right?
Yes, are you talking now again about the same line of it being stored just by itself?
Correct.
I mean, yeah, there are so many factors that would go into whether that would be a secure way to store a firearm, yes.
Where it's stored could also be dependent upon the age of the people in the home.
I think that's one relevant factor, yes.
The home, the people who live in the home, their knowledge of firearms. And I think you mentioned proficiency, like whether or not somebody could load a magazine.
Right. I think we're getting into an area that's kind of... I don't know that how to answer that question. I'm just really trying my best here. I don't know how to answer that question. There's just too many variables.
There's a number of variables. That's kind of the point that I'm making. There's a number of variables that go into determining whether or not a firearm is stored safely. Is that fair?
Yes. There are a number of variables that come into play when considering how to store a firearm, yes. Okay.
One of the ways that we just discussed was a cable lock. Cable locks can be removed in more than one way, correct? It can be removed by using a key and unlocking the cable lock.
Yes, that's the way to unlock the cable lock, yes.
And I think that one of our witnesses previously also testified that you can also cut off a cable lock.
Yes, I'm aware that there are, you know, tools you can use to defeat a cable lock, yes.
As for the youth handgun safety pamphlet that the prosecutor showed you, you're aware of federal law, which that ATF handgun safety pamphlet is about federal law, correct?
Yes.
It's not about Michigan laws.
Correct. I believe it references state and local ordinances at one point, but it, generally speaking, yes, it's a federal law.
Okay. And you're aware that it is legal under federal law for a minor to possess a handgun in certain circumstances?
Yes, that's correct.
That includes going to a shooting range?
So if we have to be careful about how we're using the words in that sentence. So there's five specified things in particular about what minors can do alone with firearms with written consent from their parents. It would be hunting, ranching, employment, target practice, and hunting, I believe. But there's specific things you have to do with as far as if they're doing it alone with written consent, the consent has to be on them. There's a variety of things in the actual statute itself. I can't recall all of them off my head, but if I'd have to have a little more information to know that was okay.
Sure. And we don't have any evidence, and we haven't looked at any evidence during your testimony, and you've been sitting in court for all the witnesses, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
There's been no evidence presented by Mr. Wagrowski or any other witness to show that Mr. Crumbly's son went to the range by himself?
No, not that I've discovered on this case, no.
So we're talking about going to a shooting range with a parent. That itself is not illegal under federal law.
No.
Learning firearm safety. A minor can handle a firearm while learning firearm safety. Again, assuming they're with a parent.
Right. There's only certain things that are covered by federal law that federal law even touches upon, and it's the transfer of a handgun to a minor. It's not even contemplating those scenarios you're discussing. So there is not a federal law that says a parent can't show their child firearm safety. No.
And during your involvement in this case, you found no evidence that James Crumbly was aware that his son had obtained unsupervised access to any of the firearms in his house.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. During your involvement in this case, you found no evidence that James Crumbly was aware that his son had obtained access to the firearms in his home.
I don't recall him ever having the videos of his son playing with the firearm or anything like that, just the fact that he was present during the time.
So he was in the home during those times, but you don't have evidence that James was aware that those activities were occurring. Is that fair? I'm not trying to trick you.
No, I haven't. I understand your question. If I understand it correctly, you're saying that there's not evidence that, he sent the video to his dad saying I was playing with this gun or something to that effect. I never found anything like that, if that's what you're asking.
You've been involved in this case since November 30th of 2021. We heard your testimony about that. You were involved in the search of Mr. Crumbly's home?
Yes.
And that was on November 30th of 2021?
Yes.
And we talked about there were various BB guns found in the home. That's not illegal, correct?
You know, I can't even comment on it. I don't know. I'm sure they are. I have no idea.
No idea. Okay.
I mean, under state law, I have no idea what's legal and not with BB guns.
There were also two pistols which were located in a gun safe, which you testified about previously.
Yes, that's correct.
That gun safe with those two handguns were located inside of a TV stand or a dresser of some sort?
It was a dresser that had a TV on it, and it was like had like a couple of drawers and a sliding thing in the middle.
Yeah. So it was located inside of that dresser in a cabinet?
Yes.
There was also an empty Sig Sauer gun case, which we've seen, found in James's bedroom.
That's correct.
along with an empty box of Patriot Defense 9mm ammunition?
Yes.
Also found in James's bedroom?
Yes.
You learned that Mr. Crumbly purchased 3 handguns between June and November of 2021?
Yes.
We went over those purchases today?
Yes.
With each purchase, you know that Mr. Crumbly signed a trigger lock statement?
That's correct.
And you reviewed those as part of your involvement in the case?
I reviewed the documents from every purchase, yes.
Now, you also know that for an FFL dealer to be compliant with federal law, that they also have to provide the ATF use safety handgun notice?
Correct.
With each purchase?
Yes.
So, Mr. Crumbly purchasing 3 handguns between June and November, he would have received 3 of those pamphlets?
I believe that's correct, yes.
So, we've talked about one, the one that was found in the Sig Sauer case, but you don't know the location of the other 2?
I do not.
And there's no requirement in that pamphlet or anywhere that Mr. Crumbly display that notice anywhere in his home?
No.
Okay. Federally licensed firearms dealers provide the cable locks to each seller, and typically the cable lock comes with the firearm from the manufacturer. Is that fair?
Correct. With new firearms, that's generally the case, yes.
Used firearms, the cable lock might come from somewhere else. Is that accurate?
Yeah, either the store will have you buy one, or sometimes people throw it in for free. It all just depends, yeah.
And I think Ms. Back testified that the cable lock that we have was from Sig Sauer, correct?
Correct.
Cable locks are not necessarily specific to each firearm. So it's not like a key in a lock, right, which is specific to that lock. Cable locks can be used on other firearms.
Yeah, generally speaking, yes. They can be used on multiple makes and models of firearms, yes.
So assuming that there isn't an issue with the caliber, a .22 caliber we've determined has a smaller bore, so it's more narrow than a 9mm, which has a wider bore.
Correct.
So a cable lock specific to a 9mm may not fit in a .22 caliber, but a .22 caliber cable lock may fit in a 9mm, if that makes sense.
It depends how you use it. I mean, if you were going to put it through the magazine well and not the actual barrel, there's different recommendations on how to use it, but if you were going to put it through the magazine well and lock it, it would fit both.
So that Sig Sauer cable lock isn't necessarily designed just for that Sig Sauer. A Kel-Tec cable lock could have been used on a Sig Sauer, correct?
Kel-Tec, to my knowledge, does not make cable locks. They provide trigger locks, but I get your point. Yes,
yes.
A different model could work just as well.
Okay. There are also universal cable locks, which we've kind of talked about, which could work on any caliber handgun.
Correct. Semi-automatic handgun, yes.
Semi-automatic, thank you. Again, Mr. Crumbly, we know received 3 either cable locks or trigger locks in connection with the purchases of the handguns.
Correct. Based on the documentation we have, yes.
Right. You found 1 cable lock in the home.
That's correct.
The keys were still in the lock.
Yes.
You did not find the other 2.
No.
Or their keys.
Not to my knowledge, no.
You don't know where those other 2 cable locks are?
I believe there would have been a trigger lock with the Kel-Tec, but to your point, yes.
Okay. You don't know whether Mr. Crumbly had a cable lock on the Sig or not at the time that it was taken by his son? Based on your investigation?
Based on statements made that we've heard in court and other things like that, I've never heard mention of a cable lock. I've always heard hidden.
Okay. You don't know, though. Is that fair based on your investigation?
I know that one wasn't recovered at the school or in the house. Is it a certainty? No, I think it's highly improbable.
You said that one was recovered at the school?
I said one was not recovered at the school.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I found no evidence that a cable lock was ever installed in that firearm.
The prosecutor was asking you about the difference between a .22 caliber round and a 9mm round, and there was something about the size of it, the bigger the round, the bigger the hole, things like that.
I don't know if I said that today, but I know it, yes.
Okay. There's no evidence that you've learned to show that James bought a gun because he wanted more damage. I think that's what you said, more damage.
More damage. Yeah, I don't think I found any evidence that James decided to purchase that firearm. If my understanding is right, based on things that the only person to ever research the purchase of the firearm was the shooter.
We also heard Ms. Back testify that and confirm that when Mr. Crumbly went and purchased the 9mm Sig Sauer, that he had made indications that he had been looking at it for a few days. Do you remember that testimony?
Yeah, I remember it was either a few days or quite some time. I'm not sure the phrasing, but I remember hearing that testimony, yes.
And we know that James Crumbly also has fired a 9mm prior to November 26th of 2021. I believe it was September or October of that year.
Yes, I recall he had at least fired it then and then maybe in July that year, too.
We talked about Exhibit 167, which was the small safe.
Yes.
The combination on that was 000.
Yes.
You have no knowledge if anyone other than James knew the combination of that safe?
I do not.
Specifically, you have no knowledge if his son knew the combination of that safe?
I do not know if he knew the combination was 000, no.
You don't know if James was aware if his son had the combination to that safe. Is that fair?
I have found no evidence that he provided the combination or his son knew the combination, but... you know, based on the fact that we recovered the firearms in the home in the safe and that we have videos of, at least there's one, the one video on, was it August 19th and August 20th, the two videos of Mr. Crumbly's son playing with the Kel-Tec. There's also a video, I forget the date, of the shooter playing with a Derringer inside the house at one point. So if they were in the safe, I don't know if his father was there or not. I can't answer that question for certain whether his son knew the code to that safe.
Okay. And you talked about August of 21. That was obviously before November 30th of 2021. When you recovered that safe from the cabinet.
Correct.
You testified with the prosecution that you were, I believe you were, used the word shocked to find the ATF youth handgun pamphlet in the six-hour gun case, right?
Yes.
Now, we just talked about the fact that there were at least, we believe at least, two other pamphlets that were provided to Mr. Crumbly.
Correct.
There, because we know that because there were two other firearms in the home. Sure. And you have no reason to believe that those were not sold in compliance with federal law.
Correct.
You don't know when or how often Mr. Crumbly reviewed those pamphlets with his son?
I do not.
Prior to November of 2021?
No.
In fact, it would be an assumption that because it was in the Sig Sauer case, that must mean that Mr. Crumbly wasn't reviewing those rules or following the rules with his son. Is that fair?
Can you either rephrase or repeat the question?
Yes. It would be an assumption about whether or not Mr. Crumbly reviewed those pamphlets with his son just because it was found in the Sig Sauer case.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's why I said I was shocked that it was just kind of discarded to the back. Yes.
And we also established that there was no requirement that he post that pamphlet anywhere in his home.
Correct.
Prosecutor asked you about registering handguns. You don't know whether James mailed the pistol sales records, correct?
You mean mailing them in to... If they were mailed in process, they would have shown up in the registry. I've actually ran it between trial, or either right before the first trial or this trial, and it still wasn't in there, so it'd be odd if all three got lost in the mail.
Even assuming that James didn't mail them or drop them off, the penalty is a civil infraction, correct?
Yes, I was only answering the question that they weren't registered.
It's a fine, correct?
I don't enforce that state law particularly. I generally deal with other parts of state law with firearms offenses. So I'll take your word for it.
Well, and I can show you the exhibit if you'd like. The pistol sales record actually lists the penalty at the top.
Sure.
You talked about Mr. Crumbly's son's stance while at the shooting ranges. And you said that it shows that there's some level of proficiency, that he has some level of proficiency with firearms. Do you remember saying that?
Yes, I believe I was talking about the surveillance video from the school, but yes.
Okay. You would agree that it's important for people in a home where there are firearms present to be familiar with them. And let me clarify that question a little bit.
Sure.
Obviously, if you have a 2-year-old in a home, you are not going to familiarize your 2-year-old with a firearm. Is that fair?
Sure.
Not intentionally.
Correct.
If you have a teenager in the home or other adults in the home, they should be familiar with the firearms if they're going to be in the home. Is that fair?
I think that's obviously a personal decision. It's not something covered by federal law that you're required to do that. I think some people may choose to not do that and just keep them away from their kids and out of view. But, you know, like I said, that's not something I can speak to.
Prosecutor specifically asked you about Exhibit 169, which was the firearm purchase on June 15th of 2021, and that there was a delay. You testified that sometimes the background may take time. That's not a negative or a positive. It's just a fact that sometimes they take time.
Correct.
You heard voices, if you recall, in Exhibits 172 and 173 at the outdoor range, which was where the videos on Mr. Crumbly's cell phone of his son firing the Kel-Tec and a Derringer. Do you remember those videos?
Is that the June videos? June 20th?
Yes, June 20th, yes.
Yes.
And you recall that there were other voices. Do you recall hearing other voices?
I don't recall hearing them. I don't disbelieve you.
Do you recall hearing other firearms being fired? I don't know what they were, but you can hear other firearms being fired.
I don't recall after watching it right now this time. I was focused on the shooter in this instance. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that other people may be shooting at a range as well.
Exhibit 175 is the Instagram post by James Crumbly's wife that both Mr. Crumbly and his son, quote, both got handguns.
That was the Instagram story?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
And that was that video is showing Mr. Crumbly's son firing the Kel-Tec?
Yes.
Which was in the safe in his room. In the safe in Mr. Crumbly's room.
On November 30th, yes.
Correct.
Yep.
Exhibits 70 and 71 are the August 19th of 2021 video and text that we just talked about a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. That is of the Kel-Tec, correct?
Yes, both the August 19th and 20th videos were of the Kel-Tec, yes.
So you would agree that these may have been the same night. The August 19th video was approximately 9:30 p.m., and the second video was about 12:30 a.m. the following morning.
Correct, yeah, it was the same night into the following morning, yes.
Exhibit 70 and 71, you specifically can see that the Kel-Tec is unloaded.
In the 8:19 video?
Yes.
Yes.
That there's no round in the chamber and that the safety is not engaged.
Correct.
Exhibits 72 and 73 are the August 20th of 21 videos. Your testimony was that Mr. Crumbly's son slammed the firearm down onto the magazine and released the slide forward.
Correct, yes.
You testified that the way that Mr. Crumbly's son was handling that firearm was not safe handling.
Correct.
You may have also testified about this, but I wanted to clarify. There was nothing in your investigation that showed that James was aware that his son had made that video.
No, again, just only what I testified to, that he was in the home at the time of the video, but no.
Exhibit 190 is the September 25th, 2021 gun range. There was some 9mm rental, some ammunition purchased, and then targets also purchased.
Yes.
There were silhouette targets and also non-silhouette targets purchased, if you recall.
I don't recall, but I take your word for it.
There were also range safety officers present, if you recall.
Yes, I think that's standard at that range, in my experience.
You described a little bit, discussed a little bit, watching Mr. Crumbly's son, and I don't know if you used the word misfire, but you indicated in your testimony that Mr. Crumbly's son was having an issue with the semi-automatic handgun.
Yes.
That he was struggling and was unable to clear something, correct?
Yeah, I think he thought a round was in the chamber, and he thought he cleared it, but there was actually nothing in there, and that's when Mr. Crumbly picks up the magazine and inserts it and you know, makes it operable again, yes.
And obviously we know that Mr. Crumbly and his son went to the shooting range.
Yes.
And Mr. Crumbly's son handled the handguns. We watched it.
Correct, yes.
You would agree that it's important for a person who fires a firearm or a handgun to know how to properly clear a misfire.
Well, I wouldn't say that it was a misfire. I would say that, you know, what it appeared to me is that he was, you know, being instructed by his father on how to properly deal with any malfunction of the firearm, which is when he racked the slide and then, you know, inserted the magazine.
So same question, but worded a little bit different. It's important for somebody who fires a firearm to know how to deal with things that come up while you're firing it. Is that fair?
I would say that's a safe way to, yeah, if you're going to be shooting a firearm, that's correct.
And if somebody handling a firearm or shooting a firearm doesn't know how to properly do that, it can have potentially very dangerous consequences.
Yes.
Exhibit 95 is the social media post by Mr. Crumbly's son about the one where there's the multiple photos of the Sig Sauer. He talks about his new beauty, his 9mm, his Sig Sauer. That
I recall the post, okay. Yeah.
There was no evidence other than those pictures. Well, let me say this, and I've asked this question before, you've heard it. Based on those photos, you don't know if Mr. Crumbly is standing right outside the frame of the photo, correct?
I do not know.
Okay. You've learned nothing during your investigation to show that Mr. Crumbly wasn't standing there with his son.
On the day he purchased the firearm when he took those photos?
Yes, November 26th.
Correct.
There's no evidence that Mr. Crumbly gave his son that Sig Sauer and that he had it unsupervised. Is that fair? Other than on November 26th of 2021.
So I recall there being another video that Detective Wagrowski testified to that I've also observed. I believe that was later that night, showing the shooter in possession of that firearm, filming down the barrel of it. I don't recall any other videos or photos of that on the devices.
And along the same lines as I've asked previously, you learned nothing during your investigation that Mr. Crumbly was aware of that video, the one that you just described, later that night on November 26th of 2021.
Yeah, like, again, the only thing I believe he was also present in the home for that one, but that's the only thing that I could find, yes.
In fact, the Sig Sauer case was found in Mr. Crumbly and Mr. and Mrs. Crumbly's bedroom.
That's correct. It was on the bed next to it was open next to the box of Patriot Defense ammunition.
Exhibit 97 was a photo taken by, I believe, Jennifer Crumbly of the open Sig Sauer box with the Kel-Tec and the Sig Sauer in the case, correct?
Yes.
That has the ATF pamphlet and the cable lock.
Correct.
And looking at the Kel-Tec, there's no magazine in the Kel-Tec.
I don't believe so in that picture, no.
You testified about the Exhibit 42, which is the cable lock that was found at the Crumbly home. Your testimony was if it was used regularly, the bag would be damaged. That cable lock was provided 4 days before you found the cable lock in the home, correct?
Correct, yeah. But if you tried to take that in and out of there, the weight of the cable lock expands in that bag, it would tear up the edges of it. So there would be more wear and tear on the bag.
Exhibit 95 is the receipt on November 27th of 2021 when Jennifer Crumbly and her son went to the shooting range.
Yes.
I think I've already discussed this. There was Patriot Defense 9mm ammunition purchased that day, two boxes.
Correct.
Based on your investigation and your involvement, that was the first time after that Sig Sauer was purchased that ammunition was purchased.
From records we've located, yes, that's correct.
If you recall, and if you don't know the answer to this, please tell me. You reviewed a lot. Did you also review any statements made to law enforcement or the interview from the substation of Mr. Crumbly?
Yes.
Okay. And if you recall, during that interview, James did not know how much ammunition was purchased that day, November 27th of 21.
I recall there being a conversation between him and his wife, and I believe he ends up correcting her, saying it was 50 rounds, but I don't recall the exact words he used.
Okay. They discussed the cost?
I believe so, yeah, because he was. I think she initially thought there was like 200 rounds, and I think he eventually informed her it was 50 rounds.
Okay. Exhibit 196 is the video of Mr. Crumbly's son and Mr. Crumbly's wife at the range. You can see when Mr. Crumbly's son is actually in the booth handling the handgun, the 9mm handgun, the Sig Sauer, that there's actually a range safety officer standing slightly behind him to the right. He's got like a bright yellow vest on, correct?
Yes.
And if you know, and I assume that you do know, the purpose of a range safety officer is to ensure that people are handling their firearms correctly.
Yeah, I would say it's in compliance with whatever the rules are for that specific range, yes.
So if that, we would assume, and if you don't want to assume, that's okay, but if that range safety officer had seen Mr. Crumbly's son doing something incorrect or inappropriate, it would have been raised as an issue that day.
I would assume so. That's his job, so yes.
The box, the empty box of ammunition that was discovered in the Crumbly home on November 30th of 2021 was Patriot Defense ammunition.
Yes.
And I think you testified earlier that there are 9mm ammunition is more expensive than .22 caliber ammunition, correct?
Generally speaking, yes.
Okay. But there are, within that, there are are varying levels of expensive for the 9mm ammunition, correct?
Correct.
And we know that there were two different prices on two different purchases of 9mm ammunition in 2021 by James Crumbly and by his wife Jennifer Crumbly.
Yes.
And obviously, if you're going to the shooting range, you need ammunition to shoot, correct?
Yes.
So it's not unheard of for somebody to buy rounds of ammunition at a shooting range?
No.
During your involvement in this case, you saw no information that James Crumbly was aware of the Instagram post by his son. Let me clarify, because I think there were a couple. The Instagram post where his son commented, it was Exhibit 100, about his, quote, new SIG.
I don't recall if he saw that one. I know he saw the social media post by his wife of the fire, but I don't believe that there was evidence of the interviewing that specific post that I saw.
You also talked, lastly, you talked about the similarities between the drawing of the handgun on the math that we've seen, the math assignment that we've seen in Exhibit 130, and also, and let me see if I can get back to it, and also the similarity to the handgun, the Sig Sauer handgun. Do you remember making that comparison?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see if I can pull that up.
Hey, person, let's turn on the TV, guys.
Oh, yeah. There's a button on the back.
Button. There we go. That's fine.
Can you see?
Okay. Yes.
So you talked about the similarities where the striations on the back of the slide.
Yes,
correct?
That was one of them, yes.
The location of the ejection port.
Yes.
The shape of the trigger guard.
Yes.
And for those reasons, you believe that that was the same as the Sig Sauer handgun.
And also the shape of the floor plate of the magazine. When all those are combined, each one taken in isolation, not the case. But if you put them all together, then yes.
And you're obviously work for the ATF.
Yes.
You have some significant familiarity with handguns.
Yes.
Okay. This is the Sig Sauer handgun. It's Exhibit 86. This is the Smith & Wesson handgun. A photo that was sent to James Crumbly by his son prior to the purchase of the Sig Sauer handgun.
Correct.
There's striations on the back, correct?
Not on the front.
There's striations on the back?
There are striations on the back, but not the front of that firearm.
And that's the ejection port that we can see on the top? Well, the side facing us. Obviously, you can't see what's on the other side.
Correct. There's also a black line that's not. You know, it's a two-tone firearm, and there's a black line. There's vast differences between that one and the one that's drawn. There are some similarities, like we discussed. But I said again, taken in isolation, it could be a different firearm. But when all put together, it appears to be the same firearm.
And you don't know if anyone who viewed that handgun on the math homework even made the connection between that and the Sig Sauer. Is that fair? Other than you, we know you did.
I found no evidence that they did it. You know, I know that if you buy a firearm, you know, you generally know what it looks like, but no.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Briefly, Special Agent Brandon, Defense Counsel just asked you some questions about other cable locks being used or could have been used. Do you remember that?
Yes.
All right, and she asked you about the other two cable locks. Do we have any evidence there were two other cable locks ever given to James Crumbly?
No, there were two trigger lock forms that could have been trigger locks or cable locks. And honestly, the cable lock for the Derringer probably wouldn't even work because you have to have one small enough to fit through the actual firearm itself, which the Sig one would not.
All right, and you just testified that you believe a trigger lock was what was sold with the Kel-Tec. Did you say that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Did you find any evidence of a trigger lock or another cable lock anywhere in the home?
No.
Anywhere in the school?
I didn't search the school, but I'm not aware that one was ever located.
Okay. She just asked you about the comments at the substation. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. What did James Crumbly say when he was asked where that weapon was?
I believe he said it was in the armoire, hidden in the armoire, and then he said the ammunition was underneath a pair of jeans.
Did he ever say locked?
No.
Was there anything that struck you about his mention of the SIG?
Yes. So when he mentions the SIG Sauer, he mispronounced Sauer as Sawyer, which if you purchased that firearm and it was for yourself, you'd be familiar with how to say SIG Sauer.
Okay. And
I would object to that response and ask for it to be stricken. He's making an assumption about what Mr. Crumley knows.
System. I'll move on. Special Agent, last question. You mentioned earlier that you reviewed the cell phone data and web searches that were on the phone of James Crumley.
Yes.
All right. And did you ever find any searches that he did relating to firearm safety or minors?
I did. There were searches related to that topic. It was after the shooting had occurred.
Okay, so December something, after the shooting occurred.
Yes, I don't recall the exact date, but it was after the shooting.
Anything before?
Regarding firearm safety, not that I recall.
Thank you. Nothing further. May this witness be excused, Your Honor?
Yes, you can step down when you're excused.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You don't have someone brief for today.
Not 15 minutes brief, Judge. We have somebody here, but we wouldn't get through my direct, that's for sure.
All right, so 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Judge.
I need to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, during the trial, did not read, listen to, or watch any news reports about the case. Under the law, the evidence you consider to decide the case must meet certain standards. For example, witnesses must swear to tell the truth, and lawyers must be able to cross-examine them. Because news reports do not have to meet these standards, they could give you incorrect or misleading information that might unfairly favor one side. So to be fair to both sides, you must follow this instruction. Do not go on social media, do not post, do not do research, do not discuss this case with anyone, and please fill out your lunch order for tomorrow. All right, have a great night. It's going to help you. 9 o'clock tomorrow will start.
All right, for the jury.
More courtroom coverage in the trial of James Crumbley from the Hidden Killers podcast from True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute.